Everyone will stand because of the Holy Scriptures. I will read you the two verses from Genesis chapter 30. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God, who has kept you from having children?" You may be seated. Today is the sixth lesson in biblical history. It's from Genesis chapter number 30. If you believe that the modern soap operas that are visible on television daily are bad, if you believe that the representatives of the people in the executive, legislative, and judicial branches are bad, if you believe that the modern morals of the nation are bad, if you believe the past three phrases are bad, what will you believe about Jacob's family? The first two verses in the scriptural reading give us a short glimpse at an ongoing argument between Rachel and Jacob. Rachel was blaming her husband for the fact that she was not bearing him any children. Jacob replied that it wasn't his fault. He hadn't closed her womb. What is going on here? Why is this chapter in the Bible anyway? In fact, why are the details of this very dysfunctional family in the Bible? Jacob had how many wives? Two. And who cares if one wife, Rachel, was jealous of the other wife, Leah? And the wives were also sisters. And who cares if the other wife, Leah, felt that she was not loved by her husband, Jacob, as much as he loved her sister, Rachel? And what is the big deal about all the children? What wife bore what child to Jacob? What kind of family did you grow up in? Was it a loving Christian family? Or was it a chaotic mess that you couldn't tolerate until you could legally leave when you turned 18 years old? What if your mother was not loved by your father? How would that affect you? My mother's family had 12 people in it, 10 children and two parents. Of the 10 children, 8 were girls and 2 were boys. They grew up on a small farm until they were evicted in the Great Depression. 5 of the 8 sisters sang in 5-part harmony, which you never hear anymore. The McGuire sisters and the Andrews sisters sang in 3-part harmony. My mother, whose name was Hester, along with her sisters Alma, Eugenia, Lois, and Irene, sang on WLW radio in a time when you had to go there in person and sing directly into a large microphone. They were popular church singers as churches all around the Northern Kentucky area requested them to come and sing in their places of worship. They sang every time they got together. I remember when Tom, my sister's husband, first met most of the sisters at my parents' home. They all asked him to play the piano as they sang their songs. They sang that night for several hours. A little background to this Bible story. This family consisted of 13 children and 5 adults. One husband and 2 wives, along with 2 handmaids, who also acted as 2 surrogate mothers. It was a dysfunctional family from the beginning. And it didn't change until after it had experienced a whole lot of tragedy, including many very disappointing moments. To provide a dowry for his bride, Jacob agreed to work 7 years for her father, Laban. I wonder how many men would do that to marry their wife. After completing 7 years of work for him, the marriage ceremony was held. Laban had his daughter dressed for the ceremony in a veil which covered her face. And after they repeated their vows, they danced and ate and drank wine. Then they went to the bedroom. Jacob had loved Rachel from the first time that he saw her. The 7 years that he labored for her passed very quickly. He was probably drunk when he slept with his bride the first night, but when he woke up, he realized that Laban had pulled a fast one on him. He thought that he had slept with Rachel, but he had slept with her older sister. What in the world had happened? Laban had given in marriage his eldest daughter instead of Rachel. Now, where was Rachel during the marriage ceremony that was supposed to have her as the bride? Where was she? She had to be told that she was not going to be wedding her loved one that day. Who told her? And where was she while the wedding was being held? Was she attending all the wedding ceremonies that were supposed to be for her, but what for her sister? Was she dressed in a disguise so she could stay hidden from the attendees at the party? Or was she sitting in her room weeping because she was in love with Jacob too? Rachel was betrayed by her father at this event. The Bible doesn't tell us where she was. We can imply that she wasn't very happy. What if that happened to you? You're supposed to marry your husband and the father gives the other sister to marry you. She had to know what was happening because she wasn't the bride. What a traumatic situation. How mad could she have been at her father? What bad feelings did she have towards her sister, who was now Jacob's wife? What terrible feelings did she have that the honeymoon night when her supposed-to-be husband was married to her sister? Can you imagine what she went through? You reap what you sow is the only way I can explain this very strange soap opera wedding situation. Jacob had deceived his twin brother when he bought the covenant from him for a bowl of lentil soup. Later, when their mother came to him with the proposal that Jacob should disguise himself as his twin brother to steal the covenantal blessings from Esau, he did not object. He did it. Esau blessed Jacob, thinking that he was blessing Esau. What a convoluted mess. Now Jacob is getting paid back. He had told his father that he was Esau, and now he is deceived, thinking that Leah was Rachel. What would you do if you were in Jacob's situation? Would you just stay married to Leah and not marry Rachel? Jacob didn't. He immediately protested to his new father-in-law. He demanded that he be married to Rachel. Laban told Jacob that after the ceremonial week was over, he could marry Rachel in another wedding ceremony, and that he would have to work 7 more years to provide for her a dowry too. Jacob agreed. So after the week to one sister, he married the sister that he loved and who he thought he married the first time. But Jacob now had 2 wives. He was a polygamist. In addition, Leah was given a handmaid for a wedding present from her father. Her name was Zilpah. Rachel was also given the same present at her wedding, a handmaid whose name was Bilhah. I don't know how Jacob worked this, having 2 wives. Who did he sleep with? Did he sleep with one wife one night and the other the next? Did he alternate nights? Did he alternate weeks? Maybe he didn't sleep with either one on a regular basis. The Bible doesn't tell us the details. The Bible instructs the reader that he loved the more beautiful Rachel, and he didn't love Leah. In fact, it says that he hated her. Now, who do you think produced most of the children of Jacob? Leah or Rachel? Well, let's look at the Bible. Genesis 29, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived first and had a son by the name of Reuben. What did Leah now think that this would do in her relationship between her and Jacob? She thought that her husband would love her now because she had gave him a son. But Jacob still hated her, even though she bore him the first son. So God gave Leah a second son, whose name was Simeon. Then she gave her husband his third son, whose name was Levi. She thought that Jacob would become attached to her because she had borne him three sons. Reuben, Simeon, and Levi were born to Leah. Rachel was still barren, but Leah was still hated by Jacob, and Rachel was still loved. Who would give her husband the next child? It'd be Leah again. She bore Jacob his fourth son, whose name was Judah, and then ceased bearing for a time. Reuben was the firstborn. Simeon, Levi, and Judah all followed in that order. Jacob now had four sons. Now we read verses 3 through 13 from Genesis 30. Then she, referring to Rachel, said, "Here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and I too can build a family through her." So she, meaning Rachel, gave him, Jacob, her servant, Bilhah, as a wife. Jacob slept with her. And she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune." So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am. The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. So Leah wasn't bearing any more children, and Rachel was barren, so they gave them each their handmaid. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel became envious of her sister Leah. She complained to Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." Genesis 30, verse 1. Jacob then was angry at Rachel and told her that he wasn't God. Rachel then told Jacob that she should go into her handmaid, Bilhah, that she could be her surrogate mother. So he did, just like his grandfather Abraham had done. And Bilhah produced two more sons for Jacob, Dan and Naphtali. And when Leah saw that she had ceased bearing, she did the very same thing that her sister had just done. She gave to Jacob her handmaid, Zilpah. And Zilpah produced the same number of sons for Jacob, Gad and Asher. It was like a big game to the two sisters. Who could provide the same husband with the most sons? It is certainly different from the mindset of today's world. Homosexuals can't produce any children between themselves. So their marriages are completely bogus because they are incapable of producing what a marriage is to produce, children. Let us review so far. Leah, Jacob's first wife, had borne Jacob's first four sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Then Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah, had borne the next two sons, Dan and Naphtali. And then Leah's handmaid, Zilpah, had borne the last two sons, Gad and Asher, for a total of eight. Rachel, Jacob's second wife, had borne Jacob no children, for she was still barren. Now Rachel was barren, and Leah had ceased bearing. Jacob was receiving all the pain that he had caused his twin brother when he tried to manipulate God in granting to himself what God would have given him in his own way and his own time. Look what happened next. Verse 14 through 21. During the wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons." And she named him Zebulon. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Reuben, the firstborn child of Leah, found mandrakes, which is an aphrodisiac, in the field and brought them to his mother. Rachel saw him do this and asked her sister for some of the mandrakes. Leah agreed to give Rachel some of the mandrakes if she agreed that she could sleep with Jacob that night. The deal was made. Rachel was desperate to bear children for Jacob. God hearkened unto Leah, and she bore Jacob Issachar. And later she bore him another son, who she named Zebulun. After the birth of this last son, Leah said that her husband would dwell with her, since she had borne him six sons. But he didn't. Jacob still loved Rachel over Leah. Then she bore him his only daughter, Dinah. So Leah produced for Jacob seven children. Her handmaid produced two children, and Rachel's handmaid produced two children, total 11 children. Who did Jacob love? Rachel. Rachel had produced him no children. Leah was still without the love that she wanted from her husband. Now we'll read verses 22 through 24. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." These children were born in the land of their mothers, Padanaram, modern-day Syria. Jacob lived in that land 20 years, working off his debt to Laban for his two wives. That was a total of 14 years. And for his cattle, that was 6 years. Jacob decided that it was time for him and his family to return to the land of his mother and father. There were several important events in this journey back home that the Bible mentions. First, Rachel stole the images that were her father's, and when he came after them and searched for them, Rachel lied to her own father, saying she did not take them. This shows us that both Rachel and her father were serving other gods. Jacob was then met by his twin brother, Esau. Jacob feared Esau, for it was in Esau's heart for 20 years to slay his brother. Jacob sent his wives and all his children over the Jabbok River. Jabbok was left alone. There he wrestled all night with an angel. Jacob would not let him go until the angel blessed him. It was then that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And the next morning, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. That's Genesis chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. When Jacob saw Esau coming towards him and his family, he put the children of the handmaids first, followed by the children of Leah, and last with his mother Rachel. What do you think that Esau did next? Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Genesis 33, 4. God had intervened and saved Jacob and his seed from destruction. There are several other things that occurred, like the defiling of Dinah. But eventually Jacob returned to the land of his father. It was then that the last child of Jacob was born. He was born near Bethlehem, and his name was Benjamin. Rachel was his mother, but she died right after she gave birth to her second son. Benjamin was the only child of Jacob, now Israel, who was born in the land in which his father and grandfather lived. Below is a chart which hopefully will help you remember the children of Israel and who their mothers were. So we've got Leah and Rachel, the two wives and their two handmaids. Firstborn child was Reuben, second Simeon, third Levi, fourth Judah. Then Leah became barren, or ceased bearing, and then Rachel was barren. So then Rachel said, you can have my handmaid. So the fifth child was Dan, the sixth child was Naphtali. Their mother was Bilhah. Then Leah did exactly what Rachel did. You can have my handmaid, which was Zilpah. So they produced Gad and Asher. So they're still not producing any children. Then Reuben found some mandrakes in the field, came, and Rachel said, give me some mandrakes. Evidently, the mandrakes worked. But first, Rachel had to say that she could sleep with her husband. She produced Issachar and Zebulun and Dinah, a daughter. And then later, Rachel produced Joseph and Benjamin. Rachel died in childbirth while delivering Benjamin. He was born in Bethlehem. Benjamin was the only child amongst his siblings that were born in the land of his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. All the other children were born in Syria. Question, did Jacob love all his children equally? No. He loved the sons of Rachel the best. Now we go to a map. Mark's not allowed to answer, nor is Randa. Mark and Randa are not allowed to answer this question. I want to know, in order, the sons of Israel and who they were born to. Who first produced, who was the mother of the four that produced the first child? Leah, who was the firstborn son? Now there's Reuben, followed by Simeon, third, Levi, who's in all the tribes, fourth, who?
Judah.
Oh, they're all right down here, aren't they? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Then she ceased bearing. Of course, Rachel wasn't bearing at all. So who was the next two sons, and who was the woman who bore them? Bilhah, right. And who did she bear? Dan. Dan's located there. And? Naphtali up here. You remember that Dan got tired of living here, and he moved to the north? Went to where his brother was, Dan and Naphtali. All right, we got six. Now what happened? Who the next mother is? Zilpah, yeah. Who did she have? Gad and Asher. Then we had the mandrakes. Then who bore a child? Leah. She bore Issachar and Zebulun. Very good. They're right next to each other, Issachar and Zebulun. And she also had a daughter by the name of Dinah. And then Rachel had a child whose name was, where's Joseph on here? Well, remember, the story is that Joseph got the birthright, which is a double portion. But his sons were adopted into the family. His eldest son was the name of Manasseh. One tribe here, one here. They got two portions. Oh. The other son was Ephraim. And then the only son that was born in Palestine was who? And he's got the land where he was born in right there. So Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, born to Leah. And then Rachel's was a handmaid. Bilhah was Dan and Naphtali. Then Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. Then Leah bore Issachar and Zebulun and Dinah. And then Benjamin, and Joseph's son was Manasseh, double portion, and Ephraim. And then the last born son was Benjamin. So far, the story has sounded, as I said before, a modern day soap opera. Abraham had eight sons. Only one carried on the covenant that God had made with him. Isaac was the only son that he had with his wife, Sarah. Isaac was the one that God said would be the one that would carry on the covenant blessings. Isaac had only two sons, twins. The elder would be the one that would carry on the covenant. The elder twin was Esau. When the twins had grown up, there is a recorded incident in the Bible that tells of why Esau despised his birthright that was guaranteed by the covenant that God had made with Abraham and later confirmed to his son Isaac. Esau was physically exhausted when he saw that his brother was boiling a large pot of soup. Esau asked Jacob to feed him as he was at the point of death. Esau also said, "What profit shall this birthright do to me?" Genesis 25:32. Esau didn't know the importance of having the birthright promises of the covenant. He couldn't die now because he didn't have anyone to pass the blessings on to. He didn't have any pure seed to continue the covenant. He despised the covenant, so he agreed to sell it to his brother. Later, the scriptures inform us that Esau married two Hittite, which is Canaanite women, which, quote, were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah, unquote. It was after Esau had married these two women, who were forbidden for any covenant son to marry, that Jacob stole the covenant blessings from Esau. This split the family apart in a big way. Jacob's mother told her husband that she was weary of her life because of the Canaanite wives that Esau had married. And if Jacob married another one of the Canaanite women who were living in the land, what good should her life be? Genesis chapter 27, verse 46. This verse is very strange and very hard for the people in Judeo-Christianity circles to answer, for it opposes their main doctrine that all races are created equal. Thereafter, Jacob's father calls for Jacob and instructs him that he shall not make the same mistake that Esau had made. He shall not take a Canaanite for his wife. He shall go to Padan-Aram, to this mother's father's house, and take a wife from one of the daughters of Laban, his mother's brother. Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. When Esau heard that, when Esau heard what his parents had told Jacob, he didn't divorce his two Canaanite wives. He married a daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son. But that wasn't the right seed either. Esau truly despised the covenant. How could Esau carry on the covenant when his seed was a hybrid mix of Canaanites and Ishmaelites with the pure seed of God? What was the difference between the two twins? Esau had married the wrong women. His seed was corrupted forever. His wife and mongrel children could never hear the words of God. Jacob had wrongfully stolen the blessings from his brother. He should have waited and received them from God. He didn't have to steal them. But Jacob had married the correct seed. The women that he married would not be a grief of mind to his parent. His family could believe God's words, but Esau's family couldn't. They were goats instead of sheep. Which son of Jacob would carry on the birthright of the covenant? The firstborn. Who was the firstborn? The firstborn son of Jacob was Reuben from Leah. What happened to Reuben? There's a verse that tells of Reuben's disqualification from being the birthright recipient. When Esau dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel, Jacob, heard it. Genesis chapter 35, verse 22b. We are not told of the importance of Reuben's sin until you read in 1 Chronicles 5:1 that, quote, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Jacob, for he was the firstborn. But forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel." Unquote. Reuben lost the birthright because he had defiled his father's bed. He had relations with Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. What a total, mixed-up, dysfunctional family. Reuben had relations with his half-brothers, Dan and Naphtali's mother. This is even worse than most soap operas. Since Reuben lost the birthright, who was it given to? The other firstborn son. The firstborn son of Rachel, who was the next to last of all the children born to Jacob. It was Joseph who received the birthright. Levi, the firstborn, received the priesthood, and Judah, the fourthborn son, received the rulership. The covenantal blessings were divided among three of the brothers. Now, who do the Jews say that they are descended from? Let's get the information from their own writings. The first one, quote, "The people known as Jews are the descendants of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, with a certain number of the tribe of Levi. So far as is known, there is not any further admixture of other tribes. The ten tribes have been absorbed among the nations of the world." Dr. Hertz, chief rabbi of the British Empire, 1918. The chief rabbi tells us that the Jews are descended from the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi only, and that the other ten tribes have been absorbed among the nations of the world that they were living in. The Jews are descended then from the southern kingdom of Israel. I'll give a second quote. Quote, "The Jews do not claim to represent the 12 tribes, for the 10 tribes never return from captivity and are lost to history," unquote. Rabbi Aaron Werner then asked by Dr. Schiffer, "Do the Jews represent all 12 tribes?" But if there's no descendants of Joseph in the world today, there is no birthright. But the Bible plainly says that the birthright was Joseph's. And what about all the prophecies given by Jacob to each of his sons shortly before he died in the end of the book of Genesis? For example, what about Zebulun? Genesis 49:13, the prophecy reads, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Where did the descendants of Zebulun settle? Let's look at the map. So turn to the map. Where is Zebulun? Right there. Are they on the Mediterranean Sea? Nope. They're in western Galilee and with no water as a border. They're surrounded by land. They were as landlocked as the state of Kentucky is. But where are many of the descendants of Zebulun now? Could it possibly be the chief rabbi was wrong? Remember, Jesus Christ called all the rabbis seed liars. The truth is that Zebulun is not absorbed by the other nations. Zebulun still exists today. Does anybody know where Zebulun is? Holland, yes. The Jews say they are descended from the tribe of Judah. Some add the tribes that were in the southern kingdom too. But almost all Jews limit their family tree to Judah. And they are liars, but they are telling a half-truth. Judah married a Canaanite woman too. He had three sons by her. What is the difference between his case and Esau's? Judah's first son was given an Israelite to marry, but before the marriage could be consummated, God killed Judah's first son because he was so evil. Judah's second son was given the first son's wife, but he was divinely killed because he spilled his seed on the ground. This left Judah's third son, Shelah. He was too young for marriage, so the Israelite young lady, Tamar, is told to go home and wait, and she would be notified when the third son would be ready to marry her. When the third son grew up and was ready to marry, Judah was out of town. His Canaanite wife gave Shelah a Canaanite woman to marry. Shortly after this happened, Judah's wife died. This left the Israelite woman without a husband. But unlike Esau's situation, Judah had relations with a pure-blooded Israelite and produced two twin boys. The pure-blooded Israelite that he had relations with was the woman that he had given to his first two sons. She disguised herself and tricked him into laying with her. Judah provided the husband-to-be for Tamar. Tamar saved Judah. Tamar saved Judah from becoming nothing more than another Esau. The story of Tamar and Judah family lies right between the story of Joseph. It interrupts what happened to Joseph in the 37th and 39th and beyond chapters. It's like a big parenthesis. Joseph is sold into captivity at the suggestion of Judah in the 37th chapter. Then the story of Judah's family is in the 38th chapter. And then we go back to the story of Joseph again. Joseph resists the sexual advances of Potiphar's wife despite the penalty he faces for doing so. Joseph does not practice a double standard. He lives holy no matter what the cost. Eventually, he rises to be second in power in all of Egypt and becomes the most powerful nation in the world. After Joseph is exalted, Pharaoh gives Joseph his signet ring, Genesis 41:42, inviting us to remember Judah, who lent his ring to what he thought was the prostitute, Genesis 38:11. Those who live sinful lifestyles may prosper in the short run, but eventually they suffer. By contrast, those who remain faithful to God may suffer at first, but in the end they will be blessed. Most Judeo-Christians have never heard of Shelah and his descendants. It was these Shelahites that became part of the mixed multitude of the Israelites. Genesis 42:12 and Numbers 26:20 record that the half-breed son Shelah accompanied Judah into Egypt, and in the following centuries left many descendants. They were in the Exodus and accompanied the armies of Israel into the Promised Land. However, they bred true to type. They were half-breed Canaanites lacking the spiritual insight which the Lord gave to his own people. So these mongrels remain idolaters, Baal worshippers. In 1 Chronicles 4:21, you find them referred to as the house of Ashbia. Ashbia is a corruption of Ishbel, meaning man of Baal. And so they were still idolaters, unable to perceive the God of Israel. So these Sheolites, half-breeds, form one of the people of the land that were part of the Jews in the time of Jesus Christ. Some of them eventually went around 1500 BC to the island of Ireland. These people call their home Erin, E-R-I-N, or Ur, Ur's land, after their forefather Ur. The passages in 1 Chronicles 3:21 through 23 teaches that the descendants of Shelah and Ur were skilled workers in fine linen, pottery, plants, and hedges. This is an accurate description of modern Ireland, which is known worldwide for Irish lines, Bila China, and a love for gardening. The Jews are partly correct. Some of them are descended from Judah, but it's from Shelah and not from Perez or Zerah. If you read the scriptures carefully, you can see how both men changed 180 degrees as they grew older. That is Jacob and Judah. Jacob, after grieving for over 20 years over his favorite son's supposed death, became united with his family in Egypt. Judah took the lead in selling his half-brother Joseph into slavery, rather than kill him as his brothers had suggested. Judah became the surety for Joseph's only full-brother brother Benjamin. He even was the spokesperson who pleaded with Joseph about his father's situation with the dead Joseph and his brother. He didn't even finish his speech as Joseph cried and revealed himself to his brethren. He told them not to be grieved or angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Genesis 45:5. For God has sent me before you to preserve you as a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Genesis 45:7. Jacob had learned his lesson. Let God work things out. Trust in him and you'll receive great blessings. And where was Jacob buried? Was he buried? You got six choices. Again, Mark and Render, not eligible to. Was he buried with his first wife, Leah? Two, with his second wife, Rachel. Three, with Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. Four, with Leah's handmaid, Zilpah. Five, with all of them. Or six with none of them? The answer is? Harris.
Five.
With all of them? Anybody else?
I was going to say six.
Six? With none of them. Joyce? Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what the scripture says. Genesis 49:29-31. Then he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as possession for the burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife, and they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. The missing word in the blank is Leah. Jacob is buried with his wife, Leah. Kind of shows the progress that Jacob made in his life. He's buried next to Leah. The end of Jacob's life is quite different from the beginning and the middle of his life. All the tragedies and tribulations produce faith in following the God of their fathers. No wonder Jacob was chosen to be the recipient of the covenant of God and not Esau, who made no effort to correct his huge, fatal mistake. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, to be continued.